Good morning. Thank you for joining us in worship on this warm and our sunny day. It reminds us of the joy that followed the Easter resurrection of Jesus and the promise of a terminal life that it brought us. Be sure to read through your bulletins as there are a number of important announcements to highlight. First, Pastor Randy will be on vacation in the next 2 weeks, specifically from the 14th to the 16th and the 20th to the 23rd. Please contact Paul Adams if you need any pastoral care. Additionally, the Summer Vacation Bible Camp registration is also open, so please refer to the church website to register and ensure a spot for your children. That's always a very well-attended, very busy week, and spots are limited, so make sure you get in and let everyone know to get registered as early as possible. I also want to highlight the announcement about drivers needed, and there's two parts to this announcement. Number one, there's a number of people, as some are getting older, aren't able to drive themselves to attend church, and sometimes that's only in certain situations. So, for example, some people aren't as comfortable driving at night as they would have been during the day. So if that's you, please contact Linda Thiessen, and she's helping to coordinate drivers to help bring those people to church so that they can continue to attend and participate. The other thing is that Linda is also looking for drivers. So if you're able to help and drive some people, we'd really appreciate that. And again, please give Linda a call if you're interested in volunteering. Please join me in the call to worship, Psalm 16. It can be found on page 178 of your pew Bibles. So Psalm 16 is a miktam of David. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I'd like to invite the worship team up to lead us in song.
I'd invite you to stand with us if you're able to sing our first song.
The time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. choose to surrender our lives. Willingly our knees will bow. Still our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. As you are before your God.
Please bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the sacrificial love you showed us with the cross. Through the work of Jesus on those two simple beams of wood, you have offered us the gift of eternal life if we choose to accept it. The world may view the cross as foolish, but the message of the cross is the power of God. Help us to trust in Jesus' incredible sacrifice and to share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll continue to worship the Lord by singing Good, Good Father.
Stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night as you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. Good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Still as you call me.
Children, please come forward for children's story.
Well, good to see you again, and you know, today, we are going to talk about something that is not good in our children's story. Not good. Good when something breaks. Have you ever had that happen? Where you've had something that you really love that broke? Do you want to share something that happened? What broke, Stephanie? A teapot broke from your tea set. Could you fix it? Nope. Gone. Done. Right? Anybody else? Mason? Oh, no. A favorite glass cup. Also broken. I don't even have to ask. Could you fix it? I'm sure that you could. No. Veronica, what about you? Your Barbie camper van broke? No. Oh, I'm sad for you for that. That is very sad. What about you, Marcus? Do I think for a little bit? I'll tell you about something that broke for me. You can think for a little while. Because there are so many things. It happens all the time, right? But I'm going to tell you, we had something that broke in the Friesen house. It was not a good thing. Because we use this every day. It's our toaster oven. Do you have a toaster oven at your house? We love our toaster oven. We are big, big fans of all the things a toaster oven can do. Usually there's four of us living in our house. Right now there's three. But we do it for so many things. We warm up pizza in there, and we might bake a few potatoes for dinner, or we warm up some fresh-baked Oma buns. I don't know if you have that. Oh, but like it makes them like they're fresh-baked, even though they came out of the freezer. We might bake a couple of cookies in there. The toaster oven is the greatest. Oh, and we toast. We toast. We toast bread in the morning for toast and wow butter, and we make it for jam, and oh, we love it. We love it. We use a toaster oven all the time, every day. So we started to notice that our toaster oven was having a little problem because every time we would open the door, it would squeak a little bit, and then it started squeaking a lot. And then it was making this horrible noise, and it was kind of getting stuck, and we thought, this is really weird. And one day, we put some toast in the toaster oven, and the timer went off, and we went, and we jiggled the handle, and jiggled. It wouldn't open. The toast was trapped inside, and we could not get the door open. It was absolutely terrible. No, I'm joking. It wasn't that terrible, but it was sad. Mr. Friesen got some tools out, and he opened the door, and we got the toast out, but we were never going to get that toaster oven closed again. It was done. So I went and I dug out of a file that I have this little booklet about the toaster oven. And this booklet is called the Owner's Manual. And the owner's manual that comes with the toaster oven tells you how to use it, how to take care of it, how to clean it, that kind of thing. But it also has a little section down here in fine print that says the guarantee. And it was guaranteed to keep working for 5 years. And I thought, it has not been 5 years. So we drove it over to the Costco, the good friends at Costco. And they said to us, you know what, here's a funny thing. We've had a lot of these toaster ovens coming back. There's a problem with them. We are going to give you a new toaster oven. So exciting. It looked almost exactly the same as our old toaster oven. It did all the things we love. It heats the potatoes, it makes the toast, it makes a few cookies, it heats up the pizza and the Oma buns. Very exciting. But it does something else. It's so cool. It's an air fryer. Now we can make French fries and chicken wings. It's the best ever. It is like our old toaster oven, but it's even better. And we love it so much. And you know what? Pastor Paul is going to be preaching today about a guarantee, a better guarantee than what's here in this little booklet for my toaster oven. It's a guarantee for all of us because, you see, we have these earthly bodies that are wonderful. They do all kinds of amazing things. And just like our first toaster oven, we love them and we use them every day. But we have an even better owner's manual, and that's the Bible. And when we read the Bible, it tells us that there are lots of things we need to do to live a good life, but it also has a guarantee in it. And I'm going to read one little part of it. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." So the Bible is saying, because Jesus died on the cross, we have a guarantee that we can be forgiven for all our sins, and we can have future in heaven. We can have a wonderful new life in heaven, a way better life than we could ever imagine, even better than an air fryer. And because we don't want to forget that guarantee, we keep that reminder all over the place. And there is a reminder here in our church. And I want you to look around and see if you can find a reminder that Jesus died for us, because it's in lots of places. A reminder of our guarantee. Look behind you. Look behind you. Do you see it? Do you see a reminder that Jesus died for us? I'm going to start giving hints soon. Does anybody see two crosses? Yes. Do you see it? Point. Show me. There, one on the banner and one on the wall. And you know, if we look around, we're going to find more of them. They were on our Easter decorations, but that cross at the front stays there all the time. And every time you look at that cross, you can remember, that is my guarantee. My guarantee is a symbol of hope for the future. That's great. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, thank you so much for sending your son to sacrifice his life for all of us and for giving us a guarantee of a life in heaven. Amen.
Wonderful illustration. Thank you, Marion, for that. And perhaps in a funeral service, maybe Pastor Randy has told this story, but I know I have on occasion. If it happens to be an open casket and the person is lying there with a fork or a spoon, you know why? Because the best is yet to come. That's like dessert. Do you not get that joke? The best is yet to come. Thank you for that guarantee. And worship team, thank you so much. You're a good, good father, as we sang. Thank you for leading us in that. You are not the audience, believe it or not. We are participating in that music because our audience is our good triune God. whom we come together to worship. For every Lord's Day, every Sunday, it's a reminder of that guarantee that the children heard the story about, that Brother Aaron will be reading the scriptures in a few moments. But every Sunday, we come together. It's a Resurrection Sunday. And this morning, many of you would be aware of this, that the Christian Orthodox Church is celebrating Resurrection Day today. And we join with our brethren and sisters within the Orthodox Church, knowing that throughout Europe today, there will be many believers gathering in simple chapels, bombed out churches, whether it be in Ukraine or other countries, worshiping the God who has given to us this great, great guarantee. One of our resources that we like to use from time to time is one of our Menno Media music publications, Sing the Story. And there are some prayers and some aids that we can use in our worship. And one of those prayers has been recorded and written by Rebecca Slough, S-L-O-U-G-H. She has been a professor at AMBS, Associate Mennonite Biblical Seminaries. And she's included this prayer. And it's a resurrection prayer. It's a prayer that speaks of our great God, our Holy Trinity. And I would like to include this in our pastoral prayer this morning. And you will recognize when I move from the recorded prayer to praying for the needs of our church family and indeed globally. Let us pray. O Holy Trinity, your dance of love invites us into the mysteries of death and life, pain and hope, despair and joy. When you offered yourself for us, O Christ, you gave life the victory over death, hope the victory over pain, joy the victory over despair. We thank you for creating the fruits of the earth, O God, for feeding us the wonderful gifts that you have created on planet Earth, that we might be satisfied by your unending love towards us. As a congregation this morning, we lift up our hands in holy worship, worshiping our great God, our good Heavenly Father, and the fulfillment of the plan of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the indwelling presence of the Spirit of the living God. This Lord's Day morning, we pray for our brothers and sisters within the Eastern Orthodox Church who would be celebrating resurrection. For many in war-torn countries, in the midst of pain and suffering, and yet within hearts, the glorious hope of a new life. And so we pray, God, that you would grant to us the vigilance to continue to pray, that there would be an amicable peace that would return to that fair land of the Ukraine, that you would give to politicians a sense of reason and do what is right during these days. Not only do we pray for the war-torn areas around this globe, but we pray for our own country of Canada. And we give you thanks for the women and the men who serve amongst us, whether it be in positions of government, federal, provincial, or municipal. We pray for those involved in law enforcement, for our peace officers, and those who serve us. We give you thanks and pray that they might not grow weary, but that we might have sound government and that we might have freedom of expression within our land of Canada. And within this local assembly, O God, we do thank you for men and women and youth who have taken up responsible positions to be hospitable, to welcome the sick, the lonely, to visit those who are unable to come and worship with us. For visitors into homes, we give you thanks. For those who serve within us here in the ministries of education and youth and worship and music, we thank you for those who serve in different capacities within this congregation. And again, that we might be encouraged and sense that we are doing our service unto the Lord. May your hand be upon this congregation as faithful families and individuals would give of tithes and offerings for the ongoing support of this church. We pray as well for Pastor Randy as he is away for these few days, that you would encourage him and return him to us refreshed. We pray also for Pastor Tim and his family as they would anticipate their soon move to St. Catharines. Pray for the Summit Church as they begin the process of searching for leadership within that congregation. May your hand be upon us, O God, as we continue to lift up your word as it is read together to us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'll be reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 12 to 26. If you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bibles, it starts on page 1789 over to 1790. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. For each in his own turn, but each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Thank you, Brother Aaron, for the reading of God's word. I always feel 1 Corinthians 15, such a magnificent chapter. I felt bad in only having Brother Aaron read those few verses. I mean, read your homework assignment during a quiet time is to read the entire chapter, to read the entire chapter. But for our purpose this morning, for our purpose as far as the direction, the theme of the sermon, it is that of resurrection guarantees. Resurrection guarantees. Thank you so much, audiovisual, for that lovely video, a video including the music of Chris Tomlin, Resurrection Power. What a powerful video that was. Your worship committee has suggested that perhaps just before the start of our 10:30 worship service, some within our congregation would have a very good Christian video for us to view, a 3-minute or 4-minute video, which could precede our worship service. So come on in from the foyer and listen and watch the videos that would be shown during these next few weeks. I almost brought my lawn chair today thinking that maybe we should have an outdoor service. Do I hear an amen? However, here we are. Here we are. But I thought I would dress a little spring-like this morning. I want to advocate that Easter should be a time to receive gifts. Not just any old gift, but the gifts that are true, that are sure, that are personal, that are eternally appropriate. My prayer for us on this first Sunday after Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is that we would all know these gifts that I believe are rooted in every human heart, and that you would see the risen and the living Jesus as the answer to all of our longings within the human race. That you would be satisfied in Christ, and that Christ would be glorified through your life. Now, I didn't make up this list of gifts that I'm going to share with you this morning, or get them from just any book at all. The gifts that I wish to share with you this morning come straight out of the text that was read to us this morning. And indeed, all of Holy Scripture reiterates the significance of these gifts that I will share with you. Let me try to show you how they came clear to me. As I was reading and rereading and reading, not being settled on what I would preach on this first Sunday after Easter. Thank you so much for that lovely weekend, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. It was very powerful and meaningful as acts of worship to our God. But I found myself reading and rereading this resurrection chapter. And in a strange way, the following gifts emerged from the text that was read to us earlier. Paul says that there are many things that would be in shambles if Christ did not rise from the dead. Then verse 20 reverses the whole paragraph. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. So let's look at a number of these gifts as we find them in the text. Verse 14, those of you who have a pew Bible or your own copy of the scriptures, verse 14a, the first part of that verse, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. It's interesting, Eugene Peterson interprets these words boldly in his paraphrase. He says, if there is no resurrection for Christ, everything that you've been told is just smoke and mirrors. Later in verse 14, and your faith has been in vain. Again, Peterson interprets it this way, everything you've staked your life on is smoke and mirrors. In verse 15, if Christ has not been raised, we're found to be misrepresenting God. Literally, the Apostle Paul is saying, we are false witnesses because we testified of God that he raised Christ from the dead. But since Christ has been raised, we are not false witnesses about the work of God. In verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. In verse 18, if Christ has not been raised, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ, they've perished. In verse 19, if Christ has not been raised, then we are all, of all men, to be pitied. And I read that text numerous times, and then I came back, and the light went on for me, and the good news of these numerous texts that I've just read to you, if we turn them around and restate these texts in a positive way, so far we have used negatives. Your preaching is not in vain. Faith is not in vain. Now we need to see what God has really done for us in raising Jesus from the dead. We see this when we put those negatives that are in the text, if we take those negatives and we just give them a 180 positively. I'm going to switch the order around this time because when the resurrection starts meeting our needs, there's a kind of a pattern that fits our experience. I want to follow the pattern as we look at each of our longings being satisfied. And these are the resurrection gifts or guarantees. I begin at verse 17. And instead of saying negatively that we are not still in our sins, we can say positively that because of the resurrection, we are forgiven. Gift number one, we are forgiven of our sins. I put this first as the basic need and the longing of our hearts, because if God is still holding our sins against us, and we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory and God's perfect will, then there's no hope of anything else from God. The foundation for every other gift, the foundation for every guarantee, is that God won't hold our sins against us. Everything hangs on forgiveness, and we are forgiven because of the resurrection of all our sins. Can I hear an amen? How is the resurrection connected to our forgiveness? Isn't it the death of Jesus that takes away our sins? Because he bore our sins and he took our judgment? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. Yes. But the connection with the resurrection is very important. In the book of Romans, chapter 4, and verse 25, Paul puts it like this. He was handed over to death on account of our sins, our transgressions. And he was raised on account of our justification. This means that by his death, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. And he purchased, through his death, our acquittal, our justification, our forgiveness. And since the achievement of the cross was so complete, and the work of our justification so decisive, God raised Jesus from the dead to validate, to say, this is the guarantee that you have been forgiven, praise God, to vindicate the Son's righteousness and to celebrate the work. He is risen, and we are justified before God. Our sins have been dealt with. We now stand as just and holy before our God. Everybody in this room this morning needs forgiveness. And deep inside, even when we don't think about it, we long for it. We long to be accepted by God. We fear the alienation that is brought about by our guilt and by our sin. But Paul says that because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we're no longer in our sins. Truly, that is one of the best gifts of the resurrection. But then I go on to another gift in verse 14. Instead of saying negatively that our faith is not in vain, we can say positively that because of the resurrection, our faith in the resurrected Christ is well-founded, it's well-grounded, it's well-established. Or to put it more personally, because of the resurrection of Jesus, there is someone that we can trust absolutely and place our faith in. I believe that deep in the heart of every person is a longing for someone that you can count on through thick and thin, someone who is absolutely trustworthy, someone who, if you put your faith in him, it won't be in vain. We have a friend whom we can put our faith in, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so there's someone you can count on. His name is Jesus, our risen Savior, someone absolutely trustworthy, someone who will never let you down. Jesus is alive and he can be trusted. The life I live, the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul says, the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. Can I hear an amen? Instead of saying negatively that the apostles are not false witnesses, verse 15, about the work of God, we can say positively that because of the resurrection, what the apostles preach is true. The Holy Scriptures that underscore the central theme of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our right standing with the holy God is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection. That the message of the apostles is true. It can be preached. Oh, we are no longer bound. We are no longer bound into wondering, questioning. But the message that is preached is true. And in verse 19, instead of saying negatively that we are not to be pitied, we can say positively that because of the resurrection, no, we're not to be pitied. We, in fact, in many ways are to be envied. Our lives have significance. We are children of our Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus Christ, and we have the guarantee of life eternal. Oh, they can and they should be full, meaningful, valuable lives. If Christ is not raised, then living for Him, doing what He says, following His will, it's just a delusion. You don't know where you're going. And you have no end point. But because of the resurrection of Jesus, we do know and have full assurance because of this guarantee. Because He has been raised and is alive and He reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all of our obedience, all of our love, all of our acts of service, we're not to be pitied. We are to be envied because we are children of the risen Lord, our risen Savior. This momentary affliction in this life, and we all have them, this momentary affliction, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, is working for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That is the guarantee. And there is in every one of us that longing that our lives will be well spent, that our lives count for something, that they have significance, that there is a usefulness in our serving and being a witness for our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Life is not pointless, useless, insignificant. We are not to be pitied. We are to be envied because of the guarantee of the resurrection. Paul knows this. That's why he ends this whole chapter on the resurrection in verse number 58 with the words, "Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." There is the longing that we shall live forever in joy. We are not simply buried like a creature that has no soul. And so Paul says in verse 18 that because Christ is raised, those who have fallen asleep in Him, those who have died in faith, have not perished. Positively, they are alive. They will live forever. They will live the way Christ lives. They will enter into the joy of their Master. The greatest news in the world is that God and His Son are most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in them. And to make that true, God raised His Son Jesus from the dead to reign forevermore. He gave us forgiveness and glorify Jesus as the all-sufficient forgiver. He gave us a friend to count on and glorify Jesus as utterly reliable. He gave us guidance and unchanging truth and glorify Jesus as the absolute foundation for truth and for righteousness. He gave us a life that is not pitiable, but enviable, a ministry that is not in vain, but fruitful, and glorify Jesus as the source and goal of all life and all ministry. He gives us everlasting joy that our life will not end by death, and glorify Jesus as the author of life and life eternal, the victor over death, and the first fruits of all who have fallen asleep. Therefore, I urge you this morning, with all my heart and all my energy, to lift up your hearts and say with the choirs of earth and the choirs of heaven, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and hath redeemed us to God by his blood, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. This resurrection guarantees. But just before I conclude the message, I want to challenge you with one further grand truth. A bonus gift, if I can call it that, because of the resurrection. Resurrection is presented by Paul as a general principle of all of reality. Verse 13, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. But the general principle that Paul is working with here, and is truth and is trustworthy, is that yes, the resurrection has taken place. He does not argue for a one-time anomaly that, okay, I'll give you the miracle of Jesus and his resurrection. But let's not talk about a general resurrection here. Instead, Paul speaks, if I can use the term, a cosmic, a global pattern that says in many places that the Spirit carried in our hearts is the icon, it's the guarantee, it's the pledge, it's the promise, it's the down payment of that universal message. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us and sent his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and verse 22. And you also are included in Christ, Paul writes in Ephesians 1, verse 13. When you heard the message of truth and you received this gospel invitation to receive and to accept and to believe and to know that your sins have been forgiven, but the Holy Spirit of God has been given to us as that down payment, guaranteeing our eternal inheritance to the praise of his glory. Death may be inevitable, but so is the resurrection inevitable. Resurrection is another word for change, but particularly positive change, which we tend to see only in the long run. In the short run, it often all we see is death, all we see is decay, all we see is destruction and loss. Words that often are used in some traditional funerals. In the liturgy, they might say, life is not ended, it is merely changed. The resurrection guarantees these tangible realities. From seeming deadness comes life. Oh, we all enjoy the season of spring as we see what appears to be dead and decaying and lost returning to life. The buds, the flowers, the bird songs. Oh, one day the groaning even of planet Earth will be replaced by God's new creation, the scriptures teach us. The resurrected Christ not only has personal guarantees for the human race, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ has cosmic, global ramifications. For we read in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5, the Spirit, we are told, makes all things new. God's great resurrection guarantees touches not only our lives, but touches all of creation. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, then the end will come. And there will be that eternal day when we live in God's new earth and new heavens. May God be pleased to speak into our hearts through his word this day. Worship team.
Thank you, Paul. I invite you all to stand with us as we sing our closing song.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt of life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
As an assembly this day, we stand before you, our holy triune God. And it is in that awesome power that we stand and that we serve a risen Savior. May the God who shakes heaven and earth, whom death could not contain, who lives to disturb and heal us, bless you with power to go forth and proclaim this glorious gospel. And all God's people said, amen. Go in peace.